In a cold, far away world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Everyone, and welcome to, once again, to another episode of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 118, recorded August 22nd, 2014. I am your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hello.
Dr. Arkaville.
Hello.
Headmaster Don, finally getting the Google Plus Hangouts thing knocked.
Hey, everybody.
And Brycey.
Hello there.
And welcome this evening to TFYLP, our special guest, Jim Black, a.k.a. Maroni Prime, of the Creo Wiki. Hello.
Hello, Internet.
We are going to be talking with him tonight, a little bit later in the show, about Creos and Creons, Transformers, little buddies, these little guys here. We're going to be talking a little bit about these and a little bit about the website and kind of highlighting that aspect of the fandom. We're going to be talking a little bit about what's in the news, anything that's in the news that we may have missed in the last few weeks, and talk about any speculations that we may have regarding that. I also want to remind people that coming up in the next week,
and he is out of here.
He was tired, I guess.
Okay.
And in the coming up in the next week, we were going to talk about Duran and his bad internet connection. Discuss.
Yeah. Well, actually, Megan, this is the point where you say Weird Wolf has fallen. I'm the leader now.
Yeah, but I don't want to. So.
Weird Wolf.
Someone else take over.
Quick, must have taken Plasticon's internet connection for the day.
I guess.
But at least Plasticon comes right back.
Well, did he at least say that we were going to talk about Creons, right? We're doing Creons tonight, which is why we have our guest, Jim Black, correct?
Yep.
Because he is the know-all, be-all of these little bitty... are we allowed to say the L word? Can we say the L word? The little... L.O. You know, word. Are we allowed to say that?
The pseudo. And the flow of the conversation.
The pseudo building block.
That it would hurt anything?
Well, how about we just call them universally connectable figures?
The universally connectable building blocks that start with an L. The Creos. So until he pops back in, Jim, tell us what fascinates you about these wonderful little building blocks of intricate size.
Well, initially I was just walking through a Walmart one time when about the time they first came out, 2011, and What I saw was in the main aisle, they had a big display that had the basic Optimus Prime building set and the basic Bumblebee building set, like 8 million of the things. And I kind of eyeballed it for a couple weeks, and I wasn't quite sure. Then I saw the rest of what Creo had to offer coming down the pipeline, and I was intrigued by having miniature versions of the Transformers characters, Skywarp, Bluestreak, Optimus, and the rest, because minifigures and PVCs and things have been popular collectibles for, many people for years. I've got a bunch in my entertainment center. There are some Marvel and DC things. But anyway, I started to pick them up, most of which I got on clearance because, you know, I hate paying, you know, $40 for something that's that big. But then I just started finding more and more on clearance, and, you know, it kind of grew from there. Now it's, I guess you could almost say it's an obsession. It's to the point where I'm collecting them just because they exist.
So you're doing you have the Pokemon syndrome where you have to catch them all.
Just shy of it.
Gotta catch them all.
I gotcha. And he is back. Doran is back.
Yes. Thank you, Google Plus, for being so awesome. You know,
we just decided to have Jim explain how he started off with these wonderful, and we weren't really sure if we should go with the L word. So we came up with what was the term?
Universally compatible building block figures.
There you go. So we went with that. And we were trying to figure out how he, you know, what made him come into this, and then you came back. So there you go.
I do apologize for that. It's another Google Plus thing, and I'm going to have to go back and re-record the very first part of this off of YouTube because I was recording dead air during that time. So that's really awesome. Again, the perils of using free stuff from Google. But anyway, I do apologize. But what I was getting ready to say, later on we're going to do talk about Creo and Creons, and then in the next week or so we're going to be starting a new show or a secondary show. It's going to be hosted by I Am Unicron and Insane Galvatron, and it's going to be called TFYLP Newsstand. And for all you comic lovers out there and print lovers in the Transformers media, this show is going to be for you because that's all it's going to be about. It's going to be about the latest comics. It's going to be about the old comics, any of the books that might be around. I know I Am Unicron reads those quite a bit. And I know there's a lot of comic book fans out there. I mean, the IDW comics are really hot right now. And they're going to be having that show, and it will air on Thursday nights on this YouTube channel, and also will be available for download in audio format via the any of the outlets that you download your version of TFYLP from, be it iTunes or Stitcher or Double Twist or even our website. You'll be able to check out TFYLP Newsstand coming soon. Check that out. I'm trying to think. I had something lined up right before the video kind of died. But anybody have any news that has really jumped out to them in the last week or so that you'd like to comment on?
Well, I actually have a couple. I didn't really set it up or whatever, but there is one. Let me see if I can get it. It's an auction, but let me see if I can pop that up real quick.
Is it a comic book auction by chance?
It would be a comic book auction. I think you read my mind on this. This is just the biggest thing is I don't know if our viewers know this or anyone else, but I am a very, very huge Superman fan. To me, there's nothing better than Superman. And this auction kind of caught my eye, and as well it should.
Did you get the stamps from Canada last year, the Superman ones?
No, because you didn't send them to me. But, but here we have, as everyone knows, Action Comics number one, which of course is what?
The very first Superman.
Absolutely. Now, it's been bumped up. This has been going on for about, 6 days? And it's already at almost $200,000. Now, they've already said that they expected to reach over $3 million. The last one, of course, which sold, does anyone remember who owned that, who sold it? It went for $2.2 million? Anyone?
Um,
Nicolas Cage collection?
Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage sold it, and I believe he gave some of it to charity. Well, this particular person has decided that they're giving, is it 1%? I'm looking. It's either 1% or 10%. Forgive me if I can't remember correctly. But to the Christopher Reeves Foundation.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And, which is a great, I mean, it just if you love Superman, there you go. It doesn't get any better than that.
And just stop and think about that. 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
$2 million.
And it's expected to go to over three. They've had, since I've looked, which is in the past 5 years, and I might have missed one, I only know of two that have sold. And both of them have been over $2 million. So, and this one is graded at a 9.0, which it's with white pages.
Brett, this begs the question, you got a bid in on it?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. But here's the
mortgage
thing.
Mortgage the house, mortgage the car.
Here's the funny thing. I have shown this particular auction to people that I work with who don't quite understand what I do. Other than work, you know, my little side thing that I like to do, which is buying and selling and collecting toys. And I pulled this up and I'd say to them, there's more of these out there and I'm going to find one. And I'll just leave it at that. That's what makes it all worthwhile to me. I would love, absolutely love to have one of these. And I hate to tell you this. I know you wouldn't believe it, but if I had one of these, I would not sell it. I would not sell it.
You'd be buried with it.
Yeah, that to me, that is – it's one of those things. I mean, everyone knows that – let me get rid of this thing real quick. Everyone knows that, you know, we're into Transformers, we're into G.I. Joe, this, that, and the other. But I have this love for Superman. I mean, just because of what he is, what he stands for and everything. And to me, this would be the pinnacle of my possession. I would love to have that. But yes, it's just timely. As soon as you start talking about the comic books and everything, and it's just funny that Headmaster Don thought about it too, but this popped into my head because I've been watching this since it was, since it started.
And here's the sad part, that if you stop and think about it, that makes those G2 Stunicons seem affordable now.
Yeah.
True. And by the way, to answer your question, yes, I did have a bid in on the Stunticons. Yes. Not this, but I did on that. So,
you know. How close did you come? Did you come close?
No. No, I did not. I did not. I definitely helped pave the way for High Prime, in his name, to pay the exorbitant fee that he did. So I'm sorry in that aspect, but yes, I did help in that endeavor.
Well, one news thing, I'm putting the link in the chat, Weird Wolf. But this struck me as Milton Publishing in Japan has had some very interesting exclusives through the years. We got a great-looking Ricochet from the Jazz Mold. We got Art Fire. And now we're getting Generations Astro Train, recolored as the Trainbot Combiner Leader with Target Master Daniel.
Really?
Target Master Daniel. And they're using the Heavy Tread Power Core Combiner Minicon that was the Claw in tank mode, is now being repurposed, and I think it's a slight remold, I'm not sure, as a Energy Arrow, which I thought was a very interesting thing to do as far as that mold. And it'd be nice to see what color pictures look like of that Astro Train. I've not seen any color pictures yet, but I'm sure that they may be out there and I may have missed them. I'm not sure. But I thought that was a very interesting exclusive for them, a route for them to go.
Okay, I'm...
That does beg the question, are they going to do more?
Well, I fully support this. I mean, the Million Publishing exclusive figures have always been rather nice, in my opinion. Even the Ghost Starscream that you pretty much can't give away anymore. I thought it was really nice. And then, of course, you have United Stepper, which is easily the most gorgeous deco of that toy. That there is, and now this that is an homage to the train bots. I just find it really awesome, and for those of you who are viewing on the YouTube stream, got a picture of the that Don was referring to. I mean, it's classic Astro Train with a bow. But I think this deco is going to look rather nice.
Yeah, I'm just glad they didn't go the route of having Raiden, or Raiden, if you however you want to pronounce it, as like the combined form together in a new body, like they did for San Diego Comic-Con Minotaur. I'm glad they kind of didn't go that route.
I agree.
Because then if they did that, and they painted it in a color scheme similar to Raiden, you'd have G2 Thundercracker all over again. Which is not a bad thing. But for this, I'm not sure it would be a good thing. But that was my you know, that made me stop and look during the past week.
Now, one thing that's really caught my eye, and it's nothing really new. I mean, we've known about it for several weeks now, but it's something that I wouldn't mind getting my hands on. But there's actually one other variant of this toy that I would like to have more. But there's no way I would even pay what their asking price for it is. Is the MP10A bathing ape Masterpiece Convoy, and it's essentially MP10 with green that is in green with green camo on the where the stripe is, and that kind thing is gorgeous in my opinion.
Well, a friend of mine, I showed that to a friend of mine. He said that green was a very G.I. Joe green.
Yeah. That's from the pictures I've seen. That's what I take of it. But the deco that I actually want more, and a lot of people are really knocking it because it's so ugly, is the Evangelion.
Oh God, I want that
of Prime, and I think it's gorgeous because it kind of makes me think Toxitron, that's the vibe that I get from it. It's got kind of a dual purpose. It's a crossover, and it's kind of an homage to Toxitron. And that is nice.
And I think of it as another version of Shatterglass Prime. I know a lot of people don't like the Shatterglass concept, but I think those colors would also work well if you were a Shatterglass fan as well, because it's just such a unique mix of colors. I started Evangelion with the series finale, which apparently in retrospect is something you never do. So I have no desire to see any more Evangelion, but I would like to have that figure.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Evangelion at all, aside from passive references and everything. But just that deco, the detail and everything, I think it's just gorgeous. From what I see, the pre-order prices are around the $400 range, $350, $400. And I think that's just insane for that toy. I mean, it's just a redeco, really. And then Bathing Ape Prime, I don't even think it comes with a trailer, and it's going for nearly $300. So, you know, it's for those who just have to have it. It's one of those things that's in that would be nice category. But I think it's worth noting, and it's out there, and I know a lot of people have been talking about it for the last few weeks, but I believe, when's it supposed to come out?
If I can find it. They released a camo version of a G1 toy.
Oh, it's out now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a bit steep, that price. I think it's around $200.
Well, it's just, I just can't justify it, because for the same money, almost, I can get Topia or Quantron. And that's the molds I don't have. So it's just a little... It's a little
steep.
For a simple redeco, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, it's probably limited run, though. I'd say there's probably less than 5,000 of these made in these colors. So, I mean, that would also explain why it's so expensive, but damn, you know, that's just an awful lot for something that, you know, you can go get pre-ordered from BBTS and other websites for $150, you know. I don't know if other places are going to carry it either, but that's the Asian release, isn't it? It's going to be that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, heck, you know, we might get it in some fashion as an exclusive someplace down the road, but I don't think so, because it wouldn't fit with anything they're doing right now.
Yeah. But
I checked that Failing Ape, that new one from the MP10 mold, and the retail price in Japan is around $175. So then there is a markup for online stores.
Unfortunately, I don't know anybody that lives in Japan that could grab one and ship it to me.
I know a couple people.
Can you feel the love tonight?
So, we have not had a chance to do a Ouch My Wallet in a few weeks. I believe last one we did was when Mirai Baby was on during the TFCon broadcast that we did. We kind of did a little, that was really sad. I'm sorry. I mean, the connection was terrible, but we're going to work on it.
Connection was terrible, and we were pretty hammered.
But Brett was busy and you were just kind of out of it. But
yeah, I was waiting for Brett to come over, and I was like, "Yeah, no, this isn't gonna work. You're too busy making money."
Money, 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 money.
Well, money! Let's start with Dr. Arkville. Have you got anything for Ouch My Wallet lately?
Yeah. I bought some stuff from the States, and I got the Tankor.
I'm sorry.
I actually hear he's kind of solid.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have such a negative connotation on anything base machines. It's sort of a default reflex, so I apologize.
Yeah. Really. I haven't unpacked him yet, so I can't really tell anything.
You mean this guy? Wait a minute. Here you go. This guy. Because he happens to be what I bought, too.
Yeah. And I think it looks nice.
Well, here's the thing. And I do kind of like Beast Machines. But as you can see, he is still...
sealed.
Yeah, that's right. whereas the other thing I bought...
Oh.
Yeah.
Where did you find him? Me, the wife did. She finds all this stuff. I can never find anything. And I dig him.
That's the one generation figure I have been looking for, and I can't.
No.
Scoop the
Rhinox. Come on, Rhinox is awesome.
I've already got Rhinox. I've had Rhinox for weeks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You were like, that's the one generation. No. They are the deluxe
that I'm.
Okay. So I'm waiting for them to do. They need to do, out of all of them, they need to do a Scorponox. They need to redo Scorponox. Out of all of them, I think that's the one that needs the most love.
What? No Inferno.
Burn in the fires of Inferno.
I'm sorry, but I like Scorponox. He was my favorite. I liked him.
He was the smartest dumb henchman I ever saw.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see him do a Beast Wars Megatron where you don't have to shove a cyber key up his ass.
That would be nice.
Yeah. You got something against cyber keys? Or just the ass part?
Just the ass part.
Oh, okay.
I'm not much into ass ramming. Speaking of, Plasticon, welcome.
Oh, thanks. I'm like the blunt end of every joke.
Yeah.
No. Oh. No, you're just at the ass end of it.
Welcome to the show, Plasticon. We had a little faux pas at the beginning. My video just kind of went, but we're back.
And then Magnus pulled a Starscream and took over. He said, "Duron has fallen. I'm the leader now." And he took over, and
it was short lived, but it was fun.
It's just like Starscream.
And then I walk into ass jokes.
So. Yeah.
There you go. You did it. It's you.
We're doing Ouch My Wallets. Really quick. Do you have anything that you picked up recently?
Negative, sir. I do not, being without jobs, got me to the point that I can't purchase anything cool yet. So I've got some stuff.
You can trade.
Oh, wait a minute. So since Plasticon is here, I will show him what I picked up. Snap that thing back in there.
That's what she said.
That's right. There you go. It showed up.
Oh, nice.
Oh, now that is a nice KO.
Yeah, look at the face. I love it. And it actually has old chrome.
Ooh. And yeah, it's pretty
it's
rare.
It's just a knockoff. I mean, it's got its issues, but definitely had
that's
to grab it.
That's a pretty rare one, though. Because the only other one I saw was, I think it was a made in Mexico one, and the chest was like a complete different color. It's like yellow or something. It was really odd. It's pretty cool,
like
though.
A banana?
I still need to get around and get me a Daruger. Vehicle Voltron needs some love.
Well, now
I need the three guy one. Which one was that? The Voltron one? Was that one or three? It was the three was Lion, wasn't it?
That's
it was
two.
I need two.
Three.
Al Vegas.
Yeah, was I need two? That one.
It was Alpha, Beta, and Gamma.
Yeah, the Lion was the third one.
Well, now, on both fronts, Plasticon, if you get the Miracle Production Works third version of Voltron, that has most of the problems worked out, and it's a very good figure. I've got the second version. Third version hit.
Are you talking about the Masterpiece version that they have that came out?
By the way, because I had someone try to sell me the second version. What's wrong with the second one that they had to make a third one?
No, the third version is just it's a few more. Once I got mine completed, I really didn't follow all the stuff after that because they sent me all the parts free of charge to fix the parts that I had that was an error with some molding issues. The third one I think is just a lot of paint, some more paint fixes, a few extra tweaks here and there. But the second version is pretty overall sound. But that's available, and for you, Megamus, there's a company in Japan that is doing a magnetically based connector format of that first Voltron. I can't remember. I saw it at Collection DX a few weeks ago. Basically, it's one of the companies that specializes in using magnets to hold the figures together, and they are doing that Voltron in their format.
Huh. Well, the only thing I didn't like, since you're on that, the only thing I didn't like that they changed from the first to the second version is there was a, on the feet, there were platforms that came out on the first one to make it stable.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second one, they got rid of that. And I thought that wasn't a good idea. I thought that if they just changed that and maybe put some little rubber feet to it, I thought it would have been perfect.
Well, I got kind of lucky. My first version feet were fine. Other than that platform does not always want to stay locked down in place. It does want to spring up sometimes. But I did get lucky and I was able to keep my first version feet. They were fine.
Yeah, I've been debating on getting one of those, just an updated version. But I wasn't sure if I should just go with the second version, which you can get cheaper, or if the third version was worth more I mean, because you're talking about a difference of about $40.
Yeah, you best do the research, because I'll be honest. Like I said, once I got my second version parts to replace the ones that I had from my first version that were wrong, I really didn't keep up with all the stuff going on after that point.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jim, did you get anything recently that made your wallet say ouch?
Well, for me, that's pretty much just about anything, really.
Deluxe, besides the tank of for me.
right. No,
two deluxes this week.
I got that Grimlock Unleashed Creo set, the Toys R Us exclusive. Which actually, since we've got everybody else here, I'll show it again. Robot mode. But I picked that up and started getting some of the Cityville Invasion figures. I've not delved too much into that, and I've not played the game. I don't have a very smart phone. But the figures seem kind of neat. They have these little platforms that are supposed to do something. I'm not sure what yet. Yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. How about you, Headmaster Don?
Well, I really didn't get anything this week. It's not really an ouch my wallet kind of thing, but I did get this about 2 weeks ago, Friday before last. I went ahead and I purchased.
Oh, Dr.
I did get Kronos, because he looks so much like Skyfire stepping out of the cartoon. I had to get him. I got a pretty good copy. I have a few issues, but
what were your issues on it?
Mostly paint. If anything's broke physically on it, I have not seen it yet. The feet slide very easy. I don't seem to have a problem with that. The legs do compress. It takes a little bit of force, but nothing like we've seen in some people's reviews. So they're not quite as tight on this one. His eyes have some flaking on the paint, and there's a few spots here and there that you can take a thing of white out and just dab it here and there, and it would cover it fine. I do have a future out for my wallet coming up. I decided to go ahead and keep my pre-order for Quantron, so I am going to be giving Quantron. And this came today, not really an ouch my wallet, but Guto Kira Jinrai.
Ooh, so St. Galvatron got one of those here a while back.
I got it for 65 shipped, which is so I now have him, and I have Minerva. So but that's really all I've got, other than just everything else I've got is pending like everybody else. I've got the unique toys, recolored Galvatron, I've got the masterpieces, I've got Quantron. Plus whatever comes out at retail, so that's what I've got pending anyway.
Awesome. How about you, Bryce?
Just this.
Here it comes.
Thank you.
That's one of them there Brave toys, ain't it?
No, yeah. That is
great. Yeah, that's one of them there Brave knockoff thingies.
No, I've got Shadow Maru. That is not Shadow Maru.
No, that is
great shot.
He's lying.
Box unused for a decent price.
I won't have to wait for the Hexatron recolor of him, because there's no way I could afford a really bad beat up great shot, but I'd rather not spend that much money or a nice one for the collection. They just go for too much nowadays.
They go for what, about $1,100,
$1,200? I saw one loose, incomplete at BotCon with some mild yellowing on the legs, $475.
That's correct, but you didn't look hard enough. Had the wrong guns.
Oh, okay. When I looked at it, he didn't have any guns.
Yep, had the guns, and I almost bought it, I looked closer, and it had six shotguns.
Yeah,
sure did.
When the seller said $475 or whatever he priced it at, I just I just can't make myself pay that for.
Well, but I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
If the guns had been correct, that's a good price.
Yeah.
And I would have bought it. I had that, and there was another thing I was looking at, and I had the money out, and I was like, almost ready to hand it over, and I looked, and I went, those guns aren't right. And he said, those are the ones they came with, and I was just like, no, because you'll never find those guns.
Yeah. So pretty much, you know, I'm waiting on the Hexatron recolor, and that'll be my six shot.
Kind of like the Road Caesar shot. I had a Road Caesar at one time. Had the bots were perfect. The Brainmasters were perfect. Had no combiner parts. And it wasn't the European versions either. It was the actual Japanese ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you might find. Those combiner parts you ain't gonna find.
Yeah.
No.
There was two lots of them up recently on Yahoo Japan. They went for stupid money.
Yeah. I take that back. You'll find them, but you'll pay for them. How's that?
But I'll be honest, Road Caesar is such a bad figure to me.
Oh, I like it.
I love it. I love the Brainmaster gimmick.
As well. Oh, I like the brain. It's just a the only three robot combiner that I can think of that doesn't look like crap would be either Rail Racer mostly, but also Tripredicus and Magna Boss. Even though they do have their own issues. They're not bad.
Tripedicus is a horrible figure.
Horrible.
It's horrible.
Gold plastic.
He's got a little, you know, it's horrible. He's got no hands. It's just got little stubby thingies.
I said not bad. I didn't say it was toy of the year.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying that.
Well, back to the Road Caesar thing. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't there a guy making custom parts for that to make his arms longer and him actually look better?
I remember that, but I never saw anything after that. I just
that'd be a good idea because it definitely needs help.
I mean, it's one of those ones that honestly, you know, in the Transformers community, it's very rare. But I know for a fact there's probably some people out there that would give good change just to have combiner parts that would work. So it'd be awesome to see a third party company tackle just getting combiner parts to making look better. And then a lot of those ones that are just, you know, the three from, you know, Europe and all that came out that didn't have the combiner parts, you know, a lot of people will just buy those because the reason why they buy those anyway is because they want a Road Caesar. They just don't have the money to actually go out and buy the full-on thing.
The European ones are more money than the Japanese ones.
Yeah.
Finding a good set of motivators is pretty hard anymore.
And honestly, I mean, I really think if a third party did that, it'd be kind of interesting to see them give out like two different color schemes, one that would fit Road Caesar, and then one to make motivator actually have like a combining mode, maybe alter the colors or invert them or something to make it look different.
I'm hoping
make
once
it
we
look
get off.
Yeah.
Well, if the third party people ever get off this G1 kick they've been on forever, which we all know G1 sells anyway, I'm hoping they'll be looking at some Japanese combiners, like a new flavor of Road Caesar or Lyle, especially Lyle Kaiser,
he needs a new one.
Yeah, because see, I'll keep hoping Takara does still have the Lyle Kaiser mold, but I got a feeling they would have done something with it by now if they were going to, you know, as far as Encore or whatever the case may be. But just like that Nova Lord that BTS canceled, if the quality was there, that would have been the best way to get an Overlord versus paying the god awful money that a G1 brings now. Yeah.
The MMC one looks pretty good. They're doing their own Overlord.
Mastermind Creations?
Yeah.
Okay, the last time I saw that was just silhouetted. I haven't seen anything other than silhouettes.
I think it was shown at TFCon's third party panel.
Okay, I'll have to look at it.
Hopefully that is one bit of news that was shared earlier this week, is that TFCon has confirmed that there will be a third-party panel at TFCon USA this year in October. a lot of us kind of took for granted that it was going to be there, but it is official now that they are going to have that, and that's pretty awesome. But my ouch, my wallet actually didn't say too much of an ouch because I did some more wheeling and dealing. A lot of you know that I moved here in the last couple months, and I've still got quite a few things in boxes around here, things that are taking up space, and my new office is rather small, so I'm trying to work through it and get rid of stuff, and I had three or four big boxes of Hot Wheels that I had that were sealed on the card, and right before the show, I was talking to Headmaster Don, and I found some more. So not as many as I did have before, but I took them down to a toy shop here in Louisville, and they had a Flash Lyle Convoy mint box, and I gave about 10, 15 bucks for it after trade. So it's 100% complete and came in the box. My only complaint is that whoever owned this before smoked quite a bit of pot, because this this robot and this box reeks of marijuana and incense. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So you could actually get high off of
probably. My cat was sniffing the crap out of that box, and he was acting all loopy. But
so next up, Werewolf will be getting Galvalio Convoy.
So yeah. But I'm sitting here. Yeah, man. Yeah. I want to eat something.
Well, I remember when I was younger, I couldn't understand whenever I opened up a new Transformer package why I always made me so happy, and then I read later on when I was old enough to understand the plastic gives off toxic fumes that's actually can make you very happy. So
wow. And there's nothing like the new Transformer smell, and you know, it's like I slid that out, you know, I knew it was a pre-owned figure, but you slide it out and I flipped it up and I'm like, wow, this thing reeks. And I'm like, that's pot. Yeah. Folks, if you smoke, whether it's marijuana or regular cigarettes, and you have a collection, yes, it does get in your toys, because my wife's a smoker, so I know what cigarette smoke smells like. I smell it every day, but yet, you know, I can detect cigarette smoke if it's in a toy, and you know, it's just it seeps in there, and I'm the toy doesn't smell like it as much because I've had it sitting out a day or so, but the box, I've got it open, and I'm leaving it sit for a few days and let it air out, because it's
freeze that bitch.
Yep,
freeze it.
Febreze.
Yeah,
Febreze gets rid of it.
Yeah, I don't think Febreze puts them on the back of their packages if it's, you know, works on, you know, hemp smell.
Nope, but it does. Works on all the crap.
Not going to ask how you know that.
Well, but anyway.
Yeah, moving on.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Stopped in Walmart to pick up some necessities on the way home from the Lyle Convoy pickup, and found the two packs with the Beast Wars Pterosaur mold, and this here,
the blue laser beak. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, well, it's uh-huh. The Pterosaur mold, and
nope, it's a blue laser beak. They stole the mold.
Yep. Okay,
stole mold from Beast Wars
and
Beast Wars toy.
That is just, yeah, that's the whole reason I got it. Now, they do have Grimlock as the Energon Doomlock mold, mm-hmm. with that's a Revenge of the Fallen Prime.
Terrible.
And they also have a Gildart. I can't remember what his Beast Machine's Dinobot name was. But they have that one repainted as Dinobot Slug with, I think it's just a redeco of this guy here, is Stinger from the movie. But You know, I mean, this right here was the real winner in that pack. I mean, a Beast Wars toy. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, well, it, 20 years later. It was really worth it. Yeah. And they're cheap, so.
Being that it's black and blue, could it almost technically be considered like a gargoyle?
I guess.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too, that I was really pleased with. You know, for a toy that is this old, a mold that is this old, and you know it's been used two or three times, it is still, the joints are really good and tight. They've actually cleaned and reworked this mold. Either that or the mold is not degraded like modern molds, because it's still really tight. It's not loose and floppy like I would expect a really old mold to be. I mean, it's really good quality figure.
Hey, Werewolf, I wanted to. You're the first person I know that's actually found that Swoop figure. Mm-hmm. I have here the BotCon 97 set, which included, you know, Fractal and Pack Rats.
Yes.
This was the one year that I could not go to BotCon because I lost my job with Service Merchandise. But John and Carl were nice enough to send me their version of an Icon package because I could not make it. I've got the Pack Rat right here. I was just wondering how close the blues are, because it looks like to me that they're trying to copy the blues. It may be hard to tell on camera without a side-by-side comparison. But I'm just wondering if someone at Hasbro doesn't know their BotCon history, because that mold came with as Fractal in the same set. So I just found that kind of interesting that they were using a very similar shade of blue.
Well, I think what it is, I mean, it's meant to be the same color scheme as Age of Extinction Strafe. Oh, yeah. But I think it's just coincidence that it's the same colors.
Yeah, because that's Fractal right there. That's Fractal there. And it just seemed like it was an odd parallel to make this mold in. I'm hoping we'll see the Pack Rat mold in these Fractal colors. Then we'll know for sure someone at Hasbro knows their BotCon history.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see that. That'd be kind of funny to see them just start inverting like every color scheme they can all the way across the board.
But you know, this is actually one of my favorite sets, just because it's just simple toys, great box, and a good comic. So you know, this is one of my favorite sets from back in the day.
It's a great figure. It really is. But, guys, we're going to take a brief break here. I'm going to play a promo ad for the show and our sponsors. We'll be back in about 2 minutes, and we'll be talking with Jim about the Creos and Creons, and then we'll wrap the show up. We'll see you in about 2.5 minutes. TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. Join up on our forums at tftalk.net. Discuss the podcast with the cast of the show. Talk about Transformers and Super Robot Mecha, or just talk about whatever is on your mind. Visit tftalk.net or tfylp.com today. TFYLP is also on Twitter at TFYLP. The TFYLP Twitter is the one place where you can find out the latest information on the show, as well as directly contact us about the show. Follow at TFYLP today. Join the TFYLP Facebook group, where hundreds of fans talk about the show, or you can buy, sell, or trade your Transformers figures with fellow members. Visit facebook.com/groups/TFYOP and ask to join today. You can now find TFYOP on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio is a free app available for the iOS, Android, and Nook platforms with over 20,000 shows to discover. With Stitcher Radio, you can create your own custom playlist and is always on demand and always on the go. Listen in to TFYOP on Stitcher Radio today, and please rate us. Tell other fans that you heard TFYOP on Stitcher Radio. TFYOP is available for download via the iTunes podcast directory, Double Twist on the Android platform, as well as from our website at tfyop.com. Back, and we are going to be talking about Creos and Creons with Maroni Prime of the Creo Wiki. Jim, you want to start telling us a little bit about the website and how it got started and something about Creos?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not actually the founder of the Creo Wiki, believe it or not. Someone else had started it. I want to say it was early 2012, and they made maybe, you know, 8 or 9 pages and then abandoned it for over a year, almost a year and a half, and it just sat with no updates, no changes, nothing. So I stumbled across it and appealed to Wiki, or Wikia, rather, and, you know, saw about adopting it, which they approved, and I took it and ran with it. I just started with 2011, and I started listing, you know, the different sets, tried to put up some of the official images, which is something I've tried to maintain, is trying to only use official images when possible. And then later on, I expanded into like instruction booklet scans, which I've got a blue million yet to scan, you know, variants, exclusives, different things. And yeah, it's been a pretty challenging endeavor, but rewarding. It's been fun.
Awesome. Now you said that somebody basically abandoned it and you were allowed to just assume the ownership of this website, or?
Well, with
is that how it works
with Wikia, you know, like any wiki, it's a community thing. However, the role of administrator is generally given to the whoever founds it and whoever they assign. None of that had happened. It was just this one person had registered, started the wiki, and then, you know, after so long, they just stopped logging in. It sat for over a year without any update, and that individual has yet to even log back in to this day. But I've never met the individual.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, it might be that he kind of ran into a similar problem that that I have with my websites back in the day. A lot of people I know, Sideburn 2 remembers it. I started a website called TransformersHomage.com, and then eventually it became Gen1TF.com. And I ran that website for about 8 years. It never really took off. Had a V-Bulletin on it, and I kept trying to make web pages that were very informative about the toys. And now, bear in mind, I started this website back whenever I had a massive collection of over 2,000 toys. You know, I could take crude pictures back then with a throwaway digital camera, and I had crude pictures, and I tried my best at coding, and I tried different ways, but I never could get enough of the web page together, and I kept appealing to people, trying to get people to come in to help, and nobody ever did. So I kind of let mine sit, and I had like a private message board for about 2 or 3 years. And so I said, you know what, I can't afford this. And really didn't delve back into the website thing until TFYLP started up. Mm-hmm. Actually, whenever I got in with Geek Existence, and then we started TFYLP. But that's possibly what happened with the guys. He just wanted to work on it, couldn't get any help, so he just abandoned it.
Yeah, that could be. I've left him in there as an administrator where he'd ever want to come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, out of respect for him having founded it. But what you were talking about with your website, that kind of reminds me of back in the days of Yahoo GeoCities, or Geocities, whatever, however you say it. Mm-hmm. Late 90s, early 2000s, before the Transfandom merger, I actually started a site myself, not too dissimilar from the Creo Wiki. It was called Computron's Database, and it was a page dedicated specifically to combiner-type transformers across the generations. It had instructions, booklet scans, tech specs, just different things like that. But it never really went anywhere. You could still find it on the Wayback Machine Internet Archive, though. It
sounds familiar. I might have actually visited the page.
Possibly. I think most of the hits on the site were from me whenever I log in to update the thing.
Well, I mean, I had a few hits and I had a few followers on my website, but it just never really gained steam because the website itself never had a whole lot of content on it. It's a lot different from today, you know, with tftalk.net, I've got some pictures up there and I'm working to get more content on it. But the main content on the website is you can go there and view archived episodes of TFYLP and download archived episodes that aren't available on iTunes or Stitcher or anything like that. You can go as far back as episode 2 download the old MP3s from Geek Existence and stuff. It's, you know, I mean, it's a good little website. I'm still working on it. Still have ideas. I know Megamus and I are kind of talking about some things to kind of help, build it up. And I have dropped a gun here. Don't you hate guns that kind of fall? But Creos. Let's get back on topic here. Creos. Want to tell us a little bit how you got into Creos and what makes them so special compared to other Transformer related items?
Equally compatible building blocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was walking. Yeah, yeah. I was walking.
I'd say that.
So who says?
I think he said let go. Maybe the gun.
Yeah, don't let go. Sure.
Right.
Let it go.
Let it go.
They're just Tyco bricks.
Tyco bricks.
Kick ass. Yeah. Little transformable sense.
I was walking through through Walmart back in 2011, and I saw there in the man hall they had the display, the big, you know, four sided thing, with, you know, completely filled to the brim with the basic Bumblebee and the basic Optimus Prime. You know, I was kind of eyeballing them for a little bit. As a kid, I had Legos, or I'm sorry, the equally compatible building blocks. Sorry.
Tyco bricks.
Mostly the space ones from like the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, those were good.
Like
too.
Translucent green and blue.
I still got a bunch of those here.
Yeah, those are pretty awesome.
Hey, you have bitches here.
Blacktron was the best.
But then I after that saw what they had coming down the pipeline with the different Creons, you know, Blue Streak, Starscream, Soundwave in them, and the larger building sets. I think the one that caught my eye initially was the which one was it? The Sideswipe. Because I was looking at the Creon and I compared it to the one with the Bumblebee set, and I'm like, that's Spike and Buster. They got both wikis in there. So I picked them up. The majority of what I picked up has been on clearance. Because, you know, I'm poor.
Cheap.
Yeah, that's
it. Cheap.
I've got Scottish in me. I'm thrifty. But I started in 2011, and you know I kept finding more and more things on clearance, and they became impulse buys, and so now it's gotten to the point where I'm buying things simply because they exist. You know, if a new Creo product comes out, it's in my crosshairs. With the exception of Series 2 of the microchangers, I still can't find those things. But yeah, it's become almost an obsession. Not unlike Transformers. I actually in 2012 I liquidated probably about 80% of my Transformers to Transformerland.com, and that helped make room for a lot more Creos. Because I had a bad habit. I would buy a bunch of, you know, busted figures, incomplete figures, you know, just for the sake of getting a figure. But I've since learned the error of my ways.
I'm actually assembling Creon Galvatron right now. It's nice. I guess it was from Wave 2.
The preview wave. That's actually one of the very first wow. microchangers.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm just now putting them together. I just opened them up.
And they were all evil.
Yeah, they were, weren't they?
One Predacon, five Decepticons.
I've actually got a Crankstart here as well that I have not opened. I've got a Waspinator right here. Yeah, I bought this entire wave. I got Spinister right here.
Waspinator is one. I wish they would have waited until they had some kind of different helmet. I mean, I could appreciate the Jazz helmet design and how it kind of vaguely resembles like Waspinator's antennas.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just a green Jazz head. You take it off, then you've got a.
Take a look at it right there.
Right, right. I see green. It's Bathing Ape Jazz.
Yes. Just lacks a camo.
Yes.
Adds wings instead.
But then you pop the helmet off and you've got Waspinator's face, but a weird head. Overall, it's not bad though. I mean, I've got a display next to Cheetor and Rhinox. I'm waiting on more Beast Wars figures. You know, sooner or later they're going to run out of G1 figures to do in, you know, Creon form. So you know they're going to sooner or later go to, you know, Beast Machines, maybe RID.
Well, they're already starting to do some IDW characters, aren't they? Or some lesser known characters. Well, they did. Didn't well, no, ID, not IDW, AOE. All these.
Yes. Yes, Age of Extinction. That's the focus this year. Both waves of the microchangers that are out this year are that theme dominantly. One thing that's starting to worry me though, it seems as though since the Creo brand has become a Toys R Us exclusive. It seems to me that, you know, that there's beginning to be some errors in the manufacturing, whether it be, you know, Autobots becoming Decepticons or, you know, different issues. So I'm hoping that doesn't continue.
They're not. I know that the local Toys R Us that I have, they might have some of the little blind packs. But the Creo combiners, they completely disappeared from there.
Really?
Yeah, maybe 2 months ago. I haven't seen anything in there in a while.
Now, did they have the Edge of Extinction ones?
I haven't seen them in there.
Oh, okay.
At all.
They might be able to order them for you.
I still got Creo Piranacon here that I showed off on the show before I moved.
Yeah,
and he's still in the bags, but I'm going to try to put him together soon.
That's a good set. I've actually got all the combiners up until Computron and Menasor. I don't have.
We even got C-Wing here that I'm going to add in with him. So.
Ah.
But I tell you what, my favorite Creon that I have to date has got to be this dude here.
Nemesis just, Prime.
Yeah, he is just gorgeous. And he's good and solid, too. He's not floppy. He doesn't have pieces that falls off.
Yeah, that was actually the inspiration for a custom Creon I made a while back. I've since disassembled it again and put the pieces back where they go. But the red windows, how close together they are, it reminded me of Voltron's chest. Yeah. And so I took pieces from different Creons and actually made a Creon Voltron. I think I still got it in one of my galleries there on Facebook. I used to use it as my profile picture there for a while.
You've got a gold prime now, don't you?
Yeah, that is actually on the back of the instruction booklet for the Dinobot Ride build set, the one that was given out at the promotion at Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
It has the miniature Optimus riding the small non-transforming Grimlock. But it's a poster of supposed to be Silver Knight Optimus Prime, but it's gold. Not sure why. Gold Knight? I don't know. Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah, you got anybody else have any comments on the Creos and Creons?
I started collecting them, and then my wife stole them all.
Ah.
She stole them all?
Yeah, they ended up in her collection.
Nice.
So she loves them, huh?
Yeah.
They're addicting.
I was able to avoid the lore of the Creons. I have RC, of course, and I've picked up Bruticus and Defensor. I've not assembled them yet. I like them. I like the sets. It's just I'm just trying not to get another line to buy right now.
Yeah. One thing I like about the Creo Combiners that they include two pieces to make an additional limb. So, like, if you have a thigh or an upper arm that breaks, you got to spare one of those. So, I mean, if you get four combiners, you've got four extra limbs. You can make another combiner out of, you know, totally unrelated Creons if you want. Or anything else, for that matter. You know, I'm thinking of, City Protection Commander and... The other exclusives, I think they use some of those myths. Those of you who remember the PsychoCon 2013 exclusives.
Oh, actually, you know, while you're talking about that, you guys can talk amongst yourselves. I have something to go grab. That reminded me.
Sure.
Well, James, let me ask you. The San Diego set that they came out with this year, the G1 year. Yeah, the
1984 yearbook.
Yeah, do you think? I mean, there's a few in there that I would like to have just because I saw the set. I wouldn't want the whole set. Mm. But do you think they'll actually work those into other sets with different decos down the road, or do you think those are not going to be available except in that set as they are?
Well, see, here's the thing that I was wondering about too is that yearbook. Class of 84, they're all meant to be, you know, G1 toy accurate, you know, so far as I can gather. But we've already got a touch of that with the custom Creons. So, you know, I'm not sure if they'll, you know, put any more of those out in that manner or not.
This is what I had to go grab.
Oh, yes.
Nice. This was the prototype that that Chad made for the last Flagicon there.
Wonderful.
And it resides happily in my collection now.
And it has a face.
Yes.
Not supposed to have a face.
Well, again, prototype.
I know.
Let me see here.
Your face.
Hang on a second. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've got the commander and the drone.
Hang on.
Uh-oh, you got the czar?
Huh?
You got the czar.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Megamus and his bag of infinite holding.
Hang on.
He makes me interrupt.
Welcome, Nancy, to the show.
That one. Wait a minute.
That gives XB a run for
very him. Hard to get. Because I'm actually missing one cat. Piece to him. That one.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I don't have the complete set, but I got four of them.
But here's the big question. Do you have a Massey?
Do I want a Massey?
A Massey.
No, I have two dogs that would love a Massey. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah. I am almost done with this
going on here. Well, it's weird because people knew me at BotCon like, hey, you're the guy whose cat attacks him on RFC. Yeah, that's me. That's so. Did you bring Massey? No, I didn't bring Massey. Oh, that's cool. So my cat was more popular at BotCon than I was.
Nice.
That's the way it has to be. You know that, don't you?
Maybe you can attend
future shows. Still say you need to get a shirt that says I'm representing Massey at this con.
I'm his agent, and it all goes through me anyway.
Just cosplay. Dress up as Massey.
Now, hey, James, on the movie combiners.
I do not have those.
Okay. They seem to be, do you follow, like back in the day, John and Carl used to track sales numbers, case sorts, things like that. You keep up with the sales figures and see how the lines are doing from that standpoint, because the few Toys R Us I have in my area, they don't seem to be selling well.
Actually, no. I'm not privy to where to even begin to find that sort of information. But just from my own experience, I've seen where Creo has both shelf formed, and I've also seen where it's flowing off the pegs. It depends on the item.
Yeah.
Different figures have different demand.
Because I know some of the G.I. Joe Creos are incredibly hard to find.
Yeah. That's one that kind of surprised me. But the first series of the blind packs for the G.I. Joe is pretty hard to find, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, everyone I know is waiting for the Pterodrome. Well, actually, it's the Sepentor that comes with the free Pterodrome. It's the way several of my friends are basically just buying the set for Sepentor, and you get a free Pterodrome in the package.
Now, what other kinds of Creos are out there? I know, I loosely follow them because of the Transformers and everything, but I know, like you guys said, there's others like G.I. Joe. What other?
There's been six main brands that they've focused on with Creo. There's been Transformers, G.I. Joe, Battleship, Star Trek, Cityville Invasion, which is based on a mobile game app, and I'm forgetting one, Dungeons and Dragons.
D&D.
But yes. Not the animated series. Ugh.
No, but if they did that, would be fabulous.
It would be. I would buy every Creo's set from animated D&D.
Just get Venger and have Peter Cullen autograph it, and you're good.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Yes,
I would love that.
I think the only problem with that, though, is the demographics nowadays. Most people that, like, if they're involved with D&D, they straight up think of World of Warcraft. And from what we gathered and from what I've gathered through Megablock sales dealing with World of Warcraft, it went okay, but it didn't go over as big as everybody was thinking it. So I don't see them actually trying to do anything like that. I don't think Hasbro would risk the time into it.
Well, I've asked IDW through the years if they would pick up the animated series, where it left off, and they said the rights are just so hard to get for that.
Yeah,
but there's so many companies involved. See, all these people.
Well, thank God it's not Harmony Gold.
Right.
I guess that's the new saying, is that no matter how bad something is, at least it's not Harmony Gold.
I'm sorry, we gotta stick it to him. You think about the jet power we're getting. Nothing is sick.
Don't you bite me. I have witnesses. I have witnesses now.
I didn't mean it.
I have to ask another.
Abusing your cat.
When Kriya was released back in 2011, I remember I was going to my first BotCon then, and it was a big thing there. It was a new thing. But how was the advertisement for the Kriya or something like that? Did they do a lot of commercials on TVs in the States?
Yeah, that's the thing is, online I see lots of commercials on their website and, you know, on YouTube. But as far as television, I've not really seen them broadcast the commercials all that much, which kind of surprised me. I mean, because the first 3 years of Kriya's existence, it was not a exclusive to any one store, not until this year.
Okay.
That and the commercials are really well done.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of them that are actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
The building the dark energon device to make a grilled cheese sandwich or different odds and ends.
A grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, they even took those commercials, certain ones of them, and put them in the Transformers character encyclopedia that Brandon T. Snyder compiled. So you got them in like a comic strip format.
Yeah.
Now,
the reason I'm asking about the commercials was the Krios turned up in Sweden late 2011. We didn't have any commercial at all, as usual, because it comes from Transformers. But it didn't do very well. The basic sets were around $20.
Okay.
Your currency. And that big Optimus, it was like $145.
Wow.
Once again, the toys are way too expensive. And when you don't have a commercial going with it, you don't sell it because the kids want the other building blocks.
Right, right. The equally compatible sets.
Yeah.
Isn't Sweden where the Legos actually started, or is that Finland?
Equally compatible building blocks.
Denmark.
Oh, it's Denmark? Okay.
Yeah, it's Denmark, so.
I was thinking Finland.
Darn, get it right! God! That was horrible!
Sweden, Denmark, Finland.
I did not say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
He's just like, they're all the same. I can't tell them
apart. I did not say that.
God. I'm embarrassed.
It's one of the Scandinavian countries.
It's one of those places over near Scotland.
I'm embarrassed now. Oh my God.
Well, next you'll be saying that I started the Ferguson riots or something, you know?
You
did Transformers that? For your listening pleasure, next week will be a geography lesson.
It's not that I was confusing the countries, I was confusing where they were made.
Yeah. Well, now, granted, Scandinavia covers a
There's
lot
a big
of
difference.
Racist.
Hey, I have blue eyes.
I just want to say another thing. This led to a drastic price cut on the Krios here in Sweden. So before summer, I managed to pick up one of those red plastic buckets with the basic toys.
Yes.
Gas and the Bumblebee and Optimus.
There are a total of four buckets that I've seen. There's the red one is 279 pieces. That's the one with a complete Jazz, complete Bumblebee, and complete Prime. The Prime and B being the basic sets. However, the Kreons included are not the original ones. I think it's like Sideswipe and
Blue Streak, if I'm not mistaken.
It was Blue Streak. Yes.
Okay. Which seemed a little odd of a pairing to me, but
yeah,
you know, for no more than it was, you know, I wasn't gonna argue. It's a neat set, but then there's three blue buckets. There's a 275 piece. That one has bits to make what was it, Prowl and Mirage. However, with these three blue buckets, you do not have complete building sets as you did when they were available at individual retail.
Okay.
I think like for Mirage, the ball joint for the head is not included, and I don't think the fists are either. I'm not sure. But the bulk of the parts for those building sets are what comprise that bucket. The next one, I think it's like 475, 480, something like that pieces, and that has bits from what was it? Was it Ratchet and Sentinel Prime? Maybe, I think.
Okay.
I don't recall. And then there's the largest one, which has bits from Optimus Prime and another set. Like I said, I don't think that the other two are complete. I don't have the larger two. I have the one with the Prowl and the Mirage, and then the red one that you have.
Those larger Creo sets, like these Creons, like this Jazz,
yeah,
that came with Jazz. These Creons did not change, like
right,
the micro changers. What do you think? Did they initially intend for the Creons to be just like this and not change, or did
I believe so? But I think when they started considering, you know, that they were Transformer characters, you know, and building blocks, you know, maybe they could figure a way to, you know, turn them into an alternate mode somehow, which is how you get half of them bending over on all fours, trying to look like a cheetah or a rhino or whatever.
Or literally, I think it's like Sunstorm here is essentially, you basically put him on the wings on his like nose cone or something other, and there you go. It's,
yeah. I think Perceptor, you tear his head off and sit him down. Something like that.
That's it.
But the micro changers, I like how they've developed over the past couple of years. There have been several improvements. I don't know if you remember the first series or so of those. They used the flak jackets like you had in Battleship and G.I. Joe in order to attach the extra accessories. But then you get into a later wave like with Springer. You have the smaller piece where you can attach the landing gear or whatever. You know, you have new helmets, a couple different animal helmets now. You know, there's so much that you see as the line progresses. I don't know. It's just nice to see how it's grown.
Well, I think the big question here, and we've seen, you know, the leading leader in the market with Lego, we've seen them come out with similar offerings to Creo as far as like transforming robots. I know I was in Toys R Us the other day and I saw like two or three different ones, and they were called like Changers or like Lego Changers or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But they there was one that very much looked like Springer. And it was like,
I've seen that one. I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be Springer or Bulkhead, because it kind of lends itself to both a little bit.
Oh, yeah, are you talking about the 3-in-1 sets that Lego does?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with Transformers. That's just Lego trying to put something out there. But the thing is, when Lego comes out with ideas, they have like a large group working on what they're trying to do. They try to implement everything they've had from parts from the past, because they all have to be compatible. Their outlook on it is, okay, there's robot, you know, Creo did their thing because, you know, Lego kind of screwed up and didn't patent the brick. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
But when Hasbro jumped on board, I'm sure they talked to some people from LEGO, but they didn't like work with them directly with the stuff. And honestly, it's cool that LEGO did that, but it honestly, it's not really a Transformer. It's just intended to be a robot.
See, I've always kind of wondered if there was some sort of influence in the design in a capacity, because not only was there that figure, there was, I think it was like last year, there was a jet, and it had the three-in-one, you know different jets you could make. And one of them, it looked like the F-15 Starscream, you know, with the wings in the
back. Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know if it was the robot. I think it was just the three vehicles. I don't remember it being a robot. But then before that, there was a robot that turned into a dog and something else. It had a light brick in it. And in one of the robot configurations, the light brick was in the head, and the overall design of the entire robot lent itself to Omega Supreme. It had a large claw hand and some other type of hand. I don't think it was a blaster or anything, but it looked a lot like Omega.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lego trying to. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, what I was about to say, it's Lego just trying to compete with what's out there. They see what's hot, and it's like, it's why Lego picked up, like, you know, Harry Potter and all these different, you know, logos. I mean, because before, Lego was just doing generic sets. They were selling because it's Lego, but they weren't appealing to a lot of the new demographics. So what do? They go in, they get these, you know, every movie it came out, let's do like a set of Lego or something like that.
Ranger.
Exactly.
Well, they got both DC and Marvel. How many people can say that, you know?
That's true.
Right.
They got Marvel away from Mega Block.
Well, the thing is they had that, and then, you know, there's been a couple times I've seen, I think, where Lego let it go and let it go to Mega Bloks. And Mega Bloks has always been one of those underdogs anyway. Mm. I mean, myself, I was collecting Mega Block like back in the day too, because when they first came out with their Dragon sets, which were phenomenal, because the little bitty minifigs that the Mega Block sets came with had a little bitty piece of metal in it, and the Dragons had a couple parts on the Dragon that was a magnet, and it would actually magnetize to it. It was a great idea. I thought that was like the coolest thing ever, and one of the reasons why I really jumped on the Mega Block Dragon sets. Other than the Dragons were really cool. The build pattern was different than Lego, but it also had a really crazy appeal. It was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So, me being a building block collector throughout the years, I've noticed like all the demographics still changing between this, and this. Even the quality of Mega Block has actually gone up because they're making money off of it now. It's not like it used to be. But then you've got what they call 10K Knights.
Yeah,
the ones with the little bit of brick that brick turns transport. Into, those things are pretty cool. I actually have a couple of those, and the first time I got to actually mess with them, I'm like, that is really neat. They're able to put all that engineering into that little bitty brick. Now, if Hasbro can probably team up with those guys, it'd be really interesting to see what they can put out with that type of thing, because they got the small bricks and then they got the large bricks that actually turn into limbs, and it's like a full-on robot itself. And then you just click on all the rest of the parts. And that's actually great. I would love to see what maybe the two can do to combine together to actually make something that is maybe a micro changer that you don't have the parts for, which would be kind of cool.
That's an interesting concept. I kind of eyeballed those two, but I wonder how strong the plastic would be. I mean, they look almost like they would be fragile enough to break if you just transform it a couple times.
No, they're honestly, when I was messing with them, they felt almost Lego quality. Because that's the easiest way to compare as Lego quality. Now, were they Lego quality? I'm not absolutely sure, but I know they were on par with the high-end Mega Block and Lego. They're kind of in between there.
Now Creo does have, I'm trying to remember what they're called, they've got Creons coming out that actually can transform, and you do not have to separate the blocks. me pull it up.
Yeah, they show those at BotCon, I believe.
Yeah, there's Grimlock, Prime, Starscream, and B, I believe. Pulling up the Creo Wiki.
Actually on there right now.
Nice. Yes, for those of you who don't know, creo.wikia.com. Let's see, battle changers. There we go. You use the navigation bar at the top, the big purple thing. You can navigate by year and by brand. Okay, yeah, Bumblebee, Grimlock, Optimus Prime, and Starscream.
We'll be sure at the end of the podcast, we'll make sure we plug the Creo Wiki actually on the Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure website as well.
Sure, I appreciate it.
Matter of fact, I just tweeted a link about it on the TFYLP Twitter page. So follow TFYLP and you will find the link directly to the Creo Wiki.
Thank you, thank you.
I just want to say one thing that I was going to say before about that Lego set, those creator sets, 3-in-1.
Yeah.
I got one set. Try to screen share in here. Just a moment.
No, but I didn't hear the.
Can you see that?
Okay. Click on here.
It's a set.
Wow.
I've seen that.
So you get Silverbolt. You got Heinlad and what is it, Quick Strike or something like that?
Yeah. Essentially. Wow. You almost have a Magna Boss there if you stretch it a little bit.
I was going to say, it could be Heinlad, but he's missing a couple blocks.
Yeah. And
couple blocks down there at the bottom, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, myself, when I was like walking through the Lego aisle, I think we went to Walmart or something like that locally. This has been a little while back, but when I was walking through, I saw that set and I picked it up. I was like, look, it's a Lego squirrel. That's what caught my eye. And everything on there, it's a freaking Lego squirrel. I'm like, that is hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
just look at the size of the teeth on it, though. I mean, they go halfway up its head.
I shall call him Bucky. Yeah.
Bucky the squirrel.
Or Slappy.
Or we could call him Dark Screen.
Some assembly required.
I see some potential. Take the squirrel and put the wings on it.
Well, yeah. Well, what you could do is buy a couple of Lego sets and build you a squirrel girl, and now you got some squirrels for her to.
To what?
That could work.
To what?
Have around.
Yes.
Okay, I've got a really good question. This is a question pretty much for everybody. What would be like the ultimate Creo set for you? Well, what would you really, 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 really like? And I guess I'll start this out myself with, I would like to see them do the Autobot arc. I would love to see that done in Creo. So that way you can actually put the Creons
in. And likewise the Nemesis.
I can see how the arc would work. I mean, with you got all the minifigures and the combiners and things. I mean, that would be perfect. Plus the Beast Wars. You know, you could have the destruction of Optimus Prime's head. Yeah, good idea.
Hey, does it have to be Transformers?
No, just Creo in general. Creo. What would you like to see?
I would like to see a Creo Visionaries Iron Mountain playset. Since we never got the playset for Visionaries because they couldn't get the higher ground technology to work.
Speaking of which, hologram technology needs to come back with a vengeance.
Yes,
I've been pushing through Twitter every chance I get for a Visionaries reboot, but. So far, it's been falling upon deaf ears.
Let me guess, it's a vision of yours.
Yeah, but right now it's up in the airy because I can't get anybody to...
But it's up in the Aries.
Yeah, that's what I would like to see.
There's let's see what you did there. There's about three lines I wish would come to Creo, but one of them, the license, would be almost impossible to get because it's Bandai, but it would be Thundercats with the Cat Slayer, the Thunder Tank, yeah, and all that. That would be phenomenal. Of course, then you have to worry about, you know, classic versus modern, you know. Also, the Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad. Yes, if you guys remember that. Gridman.
Yes.
Because, you've got the different combinations of the different robots, and, you know, you can just wreak all kinds of havoc there.
Yeah.
Plus the monsters. And then the last one I think that they could bring in would be Mobile Armored Strike Command.
Strike Command.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, a mass set would be this thing. And just think, you could also maybe build, like, mask-themed robots out of the same sets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why doesn't Hasbro bring back Mask? Even as it maybe a sub faction under G.I. Joe, maybe like a specific unit.
Actually, we talked about that on another podcast I'm on in the post show, and we came up with the idea. We hadn't really thought of it until this point. It would basically be splitting your Transformer collectors into multiple facets. You know, within the Hasbro group, because there are people that collect Transformers because it's a great line. But if you give them a Mask line, they may say, you know, I like Transformers, but I really prefer the Mask line with what it does. So they may be looking at not splitting their fan base for two similar series up like that.
Well,
so I don't know.
I mean, they could maybe.
I still say what they need to do. Also, what they need to do is, you know, what they did with that Human Alliance thing. They need to make transforming robots that look like mask vehicles, but they have the little bitty drivers that straight up look like they came out of Mask. Or kind they can like be the maybe G.I. Joe. That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Human Alliance.
Human Alliance could be Mask. If you can't call it Mask for some reason, like y'all were saying, have it as a subline, and it would basically be like Nest. Back when they did the whole Nest subline about the government and the Autobots operating together, you could have that as, say, the new Nest.
You know, that was probably a missed opportunity there.
It really was.
Well, heck, Switch
Force. Well, I wouldn't say it was so much a mess. It really wasn't a missed. Oh yeah. But it really wasn't a missed opportunity. The reason why the line didn't catch on like it did is because that was at the tail end of that movie line. If they would have released, I'm talking about just that toy line in general. I think it would have caught on more if they would have released it toward the beginning of the line, because if it would have done that, I would have thrown more fuel on the fire, but it would be like, cool, they like these little bitty figures that come with this. It's kind of neat. Bring us more, you know? Especially if they would have maybe waited a little bit longer with them and maybe gave us some accessories that came with them, like guns and stuff like that. I know they were small, but, I mean, how many people had G.I. Joe figures that literally had teeny tiny knives and stuff? So it's the same thing. I mean, it's like the Call of Duty kind of thing that got going on where it's got all these clip-on points, even on the figure itself, or, you know, knives and gun clips.
I've seen those in the stores. Those are phenomenal.
Those things are insane, and that's actually a really, really, really good point. I mean, they could easily give us something like that.
And we lost him.
Lost him. Yep. Had that Speed Stars line.
Yeah, and Switch. I mean, Switch Force. You could have worked a couple of mass cameos in there, easy, and they never did.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the cameo variation, because launching something like Mask today would appeal to people like us that grew up with Mask or knew what Mask was. But the kids today don't know what Mask is, so you have to launch a new campaign for it. Perhaps a movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's one franchise that I would love to see them do a live action movie. Reboot of. A mask could be huge for Hasbro. If only they would acknowledge that they see that, you know.
Yeah, but they're going to have to look at it. They can't look at it as a Transformer or G.I. Joe clone and apply the same movie logic, because masks are going to have a lot more character development, because you don't have giant robots beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, it's not about robots. It's just about vehicles that alter their forms to go from regular form to an attack form as well.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Although you do have the ones that are kind of like why do they even bother, like Switchblade, you know, I mean, helicopter to jet, you know, really? Why?
because it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of neat. Honestly, I thought it was kind of cool, because it's like, it's not turning it into like a Harrier jet. It's not just like, okay, we're just going to give him a Harrier jet and have him fly around. Have him, you know, a helicopter turn into like a smaller jet. And if you notice, the jet not supposed to be some big, gigantic jet. It's almost like a kid playing jet, because it's little. So that's one thing I liked about it. I mean, I love Mask. I thought it was, you know, one of the best series that ever came out of the 80s. But you've also got great series that came out like Pole Position. That was a great one, too. But we're really not going to see much of that anymore, because that was the 80s. So they do have to slightly change the demographics. But if they did, and I know they try to execute it with the Human Alliance thing, sort of, but I think the problem is they try to mix too much in there toward the tail end of the line, and it just didn't work. They should go back and revisit and look at this again. And yes, I see your bulldog. That's awesome.
My favorite figure.
That's what she said.
But like I said, if they do, they need to do a resurgence of it. They need to do it in such a way that, you know, if they do turn into robots, I wouldn't even mind a simplified form of the robot. I think that would probably be best for it. But it'd be cool to have like an attack mode on the vehicles as well. So maybe they can do something with that, and then maybe paint them up to look like G.I. Joe or something. Which people wouldn't care if Rhino didn't look like the actual Rhino colors. If it came out as a military truck that turned into a robot that has an alternate form where it's got weapons and it came with figures, people would buy it.
Here's something they need to do
like cartoon or live action to go with it.
Here's something I thought of. I haven't had a chance to bounce this off anybody yet. With there being skip years in between the Transformer movie years, you know, we just had 4, 5 is pending from what I understand, but we're looking at least late 2015, 2016 for the next one. What if during the alternate years where there's no Transformers movie is when they do the Mask movie, or they do something to relaunch one of their properties? That way they would have a movie every year in the theaters to relaunch one of the properties. So that way you've got something big every year, or is that going to be too much overdosing their target audiences?
Might be overdosing, because if you have product lines every single year based on movies, that may take away from their television product. From your Transformers RID2, or whatever else might be out.
But I was just wondering if it was the smaller, less encompassed line. Say a lot of the stuff with Age of Extinction toys that's not selling is a lot of the kiddie stuff. And I think, and we've all brought this up before, how the stuff's just sitting there. I think if they scale down the lines for the movie toys and don't have as much high-end stuff like some of the high-end Chomp and Stomp Grimlock for $80, you know, something just as an example, and these little Dino Sparklers on the cheaper end. That way you wouldn't have as much product flooding the shelves, and that would still be different enough from your regular product that you've got through your hub television programming.
I think it might help too if they were to maybe decrease the sheer amount of gimmicks.
Toys that transform. That's the gimmick.
Right, right. I mean, that's the main thing. That always should be. But, I mean, you know, you've got this version of Optimus Prime. You've got Optimus Prime riding a dinosaur. You've got Optimus Prime that flips and transforms. You've got Malibu Optimus Prime with a new hat, you know.
Malibu I'm just Optimus waiting on.
I mean, it's
just waiting on Little Pony variant.
Yes. I worry that, you know, if they're not careful with the, you know, the Optimus and Bumblebee constantly over and over and over, if they may end up inadvertently doing what happened with Masters of the Universe in 2002.
Yeah, the 2000 X line. Yeah, exactly. Like
20 He-Men, 20 Skeletors. And
one Teela, or one right. Evil Lynn, and that's it.
That has probably been the hardest line for me to complete. I had that whole line complete at one time, and it was really, really exhausting. I look back and I think of all the Transformers I could have bought whenever I was looking for all these stupid He-Man figures.
Well,
and
imagine
their
how
release schedule was just crazy. Yeah.
Well, imagine how I felt with DC Universe Classics.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't bought half ones I bought now.
I mean, it was fun. The thrill of the hunt was there, but and a lot of the nostalgia, because it's like, oh, I remember Mechanic, I remember Roboto, you know, and picking them up. Teela, I think, was the hardest for me to get, as was the Sorceress. Both of those were rather difficult from what I recall. But, yeah, that line was a massive headache. But we've gotten a little bit off track here. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Let's go ahead and wrap up our Creo discussion. I didn't get to throw my two cents in with what I would like to see in the Creo line. Sure. Me personally, I love the Build-A-Figure play pattern. You can create basically whatever you want, but I would like to be able to create a figure, like just make it, build a transformer, and it still be able to transform and look good in both modes. But you don't have to disassemble it to transform it. However, if you want to reconfigure something, like you want the wings on the back to be higher, or you want it to have four missiles, or you want it to have three legs, you know, you can do whatever you want to because of the play pattern. But my dream would be to have fully transformable figures that aren't like built to rule or even the Creos that we've got now, where you assemble like that big Optimus Prime. You assemble Prime, you know, with trailer, and then you disassemble it and reassemble it as a robot. I think that's the big thing that's kind of turned me off from it. To me, it takes the creativity away. It's like you've got a preset design. It's this is what it's designed to be. You make that, and then to make the robot, take it apart and put it together again. That to me, that's been a turnoff. But I understand that some people, the fun is the actual building. To me, the end result is more fun than the building.
Hey, well, I know you want to wrap it up, but I just thought of this. I wanted to ask James to see what he thinks. Hasbro recently announced they would be doing on-demand 3D printing, originally for My Little Pony, and now it has been gone to other lines, such as Transformers, I'm guessing G.I. Joe, I don't know for sure, other lines. They've announced they will be doing other lines with on-demand 3D printing. Do you think the Creo market, the Creo collector, could benefit if they want a certain face, a certain part, a certain weapon? Now, again, they'd be able to use that design on down the road since they would own that design at that point. But do you think that's something that may benefit the Creo collector if it can be applied?
See, I'm not really sure about that. I recall when the news of that hit some weeks back. But I mean, with the Creole blocks and the molds all being manufactured by Oxford Brick, which is, you know, kind of like, you know, Best Block and Mega Block, you know, it's just another company. You know, that may be a factor, because, you know, you have your 3D design submitted. Are they going to use it, you know, specifically for that one order, or are they going to take it and, you know, use it in other things? You know, how much of a demand is there going to be for it? I mean, I could see there being lots of potential, but I almost wonder, you know, about people trying to get custom molds made of already existing Hasbro characters too. So I don't know how much of a problem they would have with that either. Okay. But I could see lots of potential in that, you know, at different joints for limbs, alternate helmets, I mean, weapons. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities. Heck, heads with noses, molded noses. You know, that's a thing that Hasbro seems to have forgotten about, is the Transformer nose.
Headmasters.
We got one. We have one. Preview series microchanger Scorponok. The head is a separate piece that's technically Zarek.
Oh.
I've actually got one. But not to change subjects too much, but there is breaking news. TFYLP sponsor Capture Prey just tweeted 2 minutes ago. New TF Cloud figures revealed. Roadbuster after Superlink Roadbuster, and you can see on your screen or in the video right now the redeco. It's Classics Roadbuster or Generations Roadbuster in blue, red, and looks like a tan color.
Yeah,
and it looks like crosshairs.
Yeah, it's and then we have
John Ironhide.
Yeah, and John Ironhide is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that Superlink.
Yeah, Superlink Roadbuster. Yeah. And then we also have Hellwarp, which is Skybite in Skywarp colors. And apparently this is meant to be a minion for Beast Wars 2 Hellscream.
Second Hellscream, right?
So, yeah, two new Cloud figures revealed, Superlink Roadbuster and Hellwarp.
See, if I were to get the Roadbuster, I would want to combine it with someone else and power links it. And it would drive me nuts not being able to.
But maybe, you know, he becomes pants mode for Hellwarp.
It's so weird because that Energon Ironhide mold is so hated by so many people.
I liked it.
Well, it was a good figure, with the exception of the stupid head that would not hide. It's like the head was like right there.
Visible head syndrome.
If you'd just been able to put like a cover over the head, that would have been a great toy.
As large as the accessory was, that the battery pack or whatever that was part of that head unit. I'm sure there was something they could have done. Maybe turn something a certain way, or maybe make an opening below the battery compartment so the head could slide back or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a visual distraction. But
missed opportunities.
I look past it.
Missed opportunities. Well, does anybody else have anything else they want to talk about before we wrap here? Nope.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Jim, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. And,
thank you for having me.
I want to give you one more opportunity to promote the Creo Wiki and tell people some links and give them some closing words about the website.
Well, for all your Creo needs, you know, if you're needing instruction booklet scans or, you know, just want to find an exclusive, just look it up on the Creo Wiki. Freudian slip there. And, you know, if we don't have it, I'm sure we can find a way to get it. You know, but that's creo.wikia.com. You know, check out the vast resource there. Feel free to join and contribute. You know, it is very much a community thing. You know, add your own Creo knowledge to it as well. We have several sections for the different brands. You can also check out on the AllSpark my interview with Brandon T. Snyder of the Creo Character Encyclopedia. All kinds of odds and ends in the world of Creo. You know, some assembly required.
Some assembly.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Well, guys, for Brycey, Headmaster Don, Dr. Arkville, Megamus, and Plasticon, I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. Again, I want to remind you that in the next week or two, we're going to be starting up a new show, TFYLP Newsstand. And it's going to be 100% dedicated to the Transformers comic books and print media. Really heavy on the comics, but they'll be talking about all things print. It's going to be hosted by I Am Unicron and Insane Galvatron. Look for it in this YouTube channel and also within our RSS feed for the podcast download. You'll be able to find it in there. It'll be titled TFYLP Newsstand. Should be a great show. We got it coming up really soon. Look for it and spread the word. And listeners, you know, we wouldn't be here without you. And we're here every week. And I just want to thank everyone that listens to TFYLP and everybody that helps spread the word. You know, we started out really small and we're getting bigger. And it's because people like what they hear and what they see. If you want to hear something and see something on the show, if you have ideas for segments for us, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. If you have questions that you would like to ask the staff, you can email us at podcast@tfylp.com. We'll check those out, or you can post them on Facebook, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at TFYLP. And we'd love to answer your questions if you have any feedback. We'd love to hear them. And most of all, rate us and share us on any podcast outlet that you join and subscribe to us on. Thank you all for joining us. For TFYLP, that'll do us for this week. And thank you again, once again, to Maroney Prime for joining us from the TF Creo Wiki. I almost had that Freudian slip myself. It's the wiki thing. But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.